The Brad Sesmatt Show, broadcasting live.
Thanks for being with us off into a holiday week. Some of you are taking this in when you are not in your usual settings. We appreciate you doing that. Some of you are taking this in as you're driving along. Be safe, flying along, be safe. We have our usual Monday cast of characters. Jody Jackson will be with us momentarily. Jody's Gems brought to you by E.D. Marshall Jewelers, all around the Cardinals disaster in Seattle. And where would you put the Cardinals if you're ranking the teams in the NFC? It's pretty easy about Detroit and Philadelphia. But after that, we're going to chop it up about what happened Sunday in Seattle, how they were sleepless in Seattle, and then their game at Minnesota next Sunday where they never really play well. John Wilner will be with us today, as he is every Monday. Total chaos. We love what is going on in college football and the college football playoff. Infinitely more interesting than what happens on Sundays, in my opinion. John Wilner will be with us. He'll also break down his view. If there is a coach on the hot seat that could be fired in the ASU-U of A game, because what I have learned through the years, there's usually always a coach. Usually. Last year, there wasn't a coach that was going to get fired, but there was a lot of brush fire around one coach leaving. Okay, so 2 years ago, we knew where it was going to go with ASU, and that's how it is. This year's a lot different, thank goodness. So we'll have John Wilner with us coming up at 10:30. Opening comments are brought to you by Desert Financial Credit Union. Desert Financial Credit Union, taking care of you, taking care of your business. Through the years, that is Desert Financial Credit Union. We appreciate Jeff Mishi and their support. Saturday was more interesting than yesterday. Yesterday's game was like watching. It was just like a wet rag, a wet sponge. It was just meh. One of those games during the course of an NFL season. And I'll get back around to it, but I want to start with the far more interesting topic, and that is what's going on in college football today. College football today, they came up with this idea of the college football playoff. Came up with this idea of let's try to expand out and let's go from 4 to 12, and let's just see what kind of chaos happens. And so, usually this week is pretty much a dead week. Usually it's just Michigan, Ohio State, and Alabama, Auburn. And that's it. Everything else, doesn't mean much of anything. Yeah, usually in the past it would be the Apple Cup, and it would be Oregon, Oregon State. It would be Cal and Stanford. It'd be UCLA and USC. ASU, U of A, Colorado, Utah, meh. Now, games like Friday of this week. I hate to tell your relatives this, but if you're into college football, you're going to want to watch Oregon State of Boise State at 10 a.m. on Friday morning. You're going to want to watch Oklahoma State against Colorado at 10 a.m. on Friday morning. These are Arizona times, by the way. If you're taking this in the East Coast, adjust 2 hours, West Coast an hour. Georgia Tech and Georgia, 5:30 on Friday night, has implications, has impact. It has impact even on Arizona State fans. You guys should be watching these games. You say that you're I'm a big Sun Devil fan. Of course, everybody's a big Sun Devil fan now. Of course you are. I cancel my season tickets. They're a joke. Oh my gosh, can I get tickets? Hey, Brad, do you know somebody selling tickets? That's where we are. Saturday, a game like South Carolina at Clemson means a ton to the college football playoff. Would have meant nothing. Cal at SMU means something. So, yeah, obviously the Arizona State, Arizona game is front and center. What I liked about Saturday, let's just go back to that. What I liked about Saturday is the chaos that ensued when the game ended. You saw a different side of Kenny Dillingham. Kenny Dillingham was caught on social media by not just one, not two, but dozens of cameras. And it was him dropping expletive after expletive to the referees over 1 second left on the clock. The message sent to 99% of you. And of course, there's always the 1%. Oh my gosh, he uses bad language. Oh my, come on. Come on now. And I'm sure today he's going to be asked about his meltdown on the field. I don't consider it a meltdown. I want that in my coach. I know PR is going to say, you might want to clean that up. You know, there's some things that I said that I regret in the heat of the moment, yada, yada, yada. No. That's you. You're being authentic. We have enough phonies going on in our society today. We have enough phonies that don't say anything when they show up to a podium on a Monday after a win or a loss. We have enough phonies that are in it, they have talking points. We don't want phonies. What we want is what we saw out of Kenny Dillingham after the game was over. Today in Tucson, Brent Brennan's going to sit in front of a few people and he's going to try to explain the Territorial Cup and he has no idea. He's going to try to explain how his team's been so awful. He has no idea. He's going to try to sit there and talk about senior day and how important it is, and he'll do fine at that. This isn't disrespecting him. It's not picking on U of A. They've had an awful season. There's no other way to put it. It's been a load for them. And so here it is, a Territorial Cup game that actually means something. Oh, it always means something. No, it doesn't. There's so many years where this game is like, bleh. But here we are with Arizona State, everything on the line, everything in front of them. I'm not going to sit here and go through every last tiebreaker and read it off a sheet and pretend like I have all the knowledge, that I am all knowing, that I'm the smartest guy in the room. Nobody likes the smartest guy in the room. This is not brain surgery, it's sports. What I also believe to be true is all the pressure. This is not brain surgery here. Again, this is not, splitting atoms. All the pressure is on Arizona State this week. Okay, that's true. Have they faced that situation at all this season? And the answer is no. You're picked last. Nobody cares about you. They've used that all season long as motivation. Well, we're in a different space now. All week long, it's, oh, you're going to beat up the cats, the kitty cats, the puss cats, and all that stuff. And it's taking this thing and just throwing it in a drawer this week and saying, that I've got to pay attention, I've got to be focused. Is there a little bit of sphincter tightness that is happening? I like the fact that Kenny Dillingham wore a sweatshirt about NIL. That's where we are. I like the fact that he said point blank, looked into a camera and said, these guys are underpaid because they are. It's a lot of interesting times around ASU right now. When they charge the field, I got a bunch of texts, all with something university. Yes, it's not a swipe, it's fact. How many, they've had three field storms this year. Who called that? Hey, by the way, they're going to storm the field against Mississippi State, and they're going to keep storming the field. Or is it Utah? Or was it, so you go right down the line of how many field storms they've had this year. Kenny Dillingham's going to get caught up in the mosh pit after the Utah game. Of course we called that. So this is fun. This is great. But the pressure is on ASU this week. And so how do they perform in that? I know that as Saturday goes along and Kansas State is playing Iowa State, I would not have watched that game. I'm busy. I got a lot of things going on. But I've got to watch that game now. Got to watch that game. That's about it. I mean, if you think I'm going to sit here and go deep into why the Suns have lost five straight in November, well, they haven't had Kevin Durant and they haven't had Bradley Beal, and it's not going to mean a darn thing when we get to April. Let me think. Oh, NAU making the postseason. They're good for them. Lumberjack football making the postseason. It's a good story. We have some college basketball this week. U of A, I watched U of A against Duke from start to finish, and Duke was miles ahead of U of A. Cooper Flagg, oh my goodness. Duke just jack stomped U of A on their home court. That was impressive. ASU meets New Mexico at Palm Springs on Thursday, on Thanksgiving night. You can watch that. So there's a lot going on. It's our busiest time of year in sports. We love it. And up next, we will have Jody Jackson, Jody's Gems. We'll get into the Cardinals, about what happened Sunday in Seattle, why they were sleepless in Seattle, as I like to say, And then John Wilner on all things college football, the college football playoff with the great John Wilner. That's all straight ahead. And now it's time, as you can tell, for Jody's Gems, Jody Jackson. You can tell because she looks great, as always, by E.D. Marshall Jewelers. We appreciate E.D. Marshall Jewelers and their support. How are you? Let's just start there. How are you, Jody?
Doing great. Doing great. You know, a big football weekend in the Valley. So that was fun on Saturday for sure, albeit chaotic.
Yeah.
And a few of so my son and his friends were home. They went to the game from college. You know, they got to go out and experience all of that. And the Valley was activated, Brad, as you know. And then on Sunday, I think I was excited for that momentum to continue for the Arizona Cardinals. And unfortunately, they fell flat. But yeah, I am good. I'm getting ready for this Thanksgiving week. You know, happy Thanksgiving to everyone out there. It's going to be, I can't believe it's already here.
I know.
Here we are with Thanksgiving. And then, of course, the holidays, the Christmas holidays are coming as well.
What's it like at your house on Thanksgiving Day, if you don't mind me asking?
Yeah, normally the last couple of years, so 2 years ago, I was actually on a hockey road trip for a week and I was gone. But there were 30 people here. And then last year, there were about 30 people here. And then this year, it'll be a little bit smaller groups. So it's a lot of food. It's a lot of chaos at times. But it is a lot of fun, and I don't have to cook everything. People pitch in, family pitches in, so that's nice.
Yeah, there you go. That sounds like a great.
How about you?
We will have. I'm expecting to be a granddad. I'm not expecting, but I'm going to be a granddad in February, and I have a wedding next year for my daughter, one of my daughters. So we're going to all hang out and probably wedding plan, and hang out and watch some football and talk about the mass chaos in college football and talk about if the Cardinals can bounce back against Minnesota. So, you know, a little bit of this, a little bit of that. Maybe go see Wicked. That's
exciting times for the Cessnats. And then you've got Bogey too. So
Bogey Dog's not in here. All right, Jody Jackson for a couple of minutes, brought to you by E.D. Marshall Jewelers. As we get through the holidays, starting up to the back end of it, are we going to see playoff football for the Cardinals? Is it just 1 week? What happened in Seattle? We'll make it brief on the Cardinals in Seattle. From your view, what happened?
Well, it's going to be a battle for the NFC West. And I had a feeling, you know, I mean, going in, did I think they had a good chance to win that game? Yes, I did. I thought that they could go up there, but I think a couple of things happened. I watched that game against the 49ers for the Seahawks while the Cardinals were idle and on their bye, and the Seahawks gained an edge. They gained a sharpness. They gained they have a couple new linebackers in there, including a Super Bowl winning linebacker, Ernest Jones, who's made a big difference for that team. And then they have Leonard Williams, who made a big difference on Sunday. Jonah Williams joined the O-line. However, what happened to that O-line was not all his fault. Literally every guy on that line appeared to give up a sack. All the sacks were different situations and different guys. And the interior of the line didn't play well. Paris Johnson gave up a sack for the second straight week, albeit it was 2 weeks ago. And I didn't realize that they were not going to be able to hold up physically. And so to see James Conner have 7 carries for 8 yards, I mean, that was going to be tough sledding. And Kyler Murray, you know, he on 4th-and-1, he made a really bad decision. Meanwhile, they had a chance to still win the game despite having, I would say, very little offense, but they had a lot of offense to Trey McBride. None of it ended in the end zone. But the defense held up pretty well. So, look, Minnesota's going to be tough. They're going to go in there. That's a really tough defense. Blitzes a lot. Going to force Kyler to make good decisions. And so now it becomes a little bit of crunch time. It always was. It always was going to be. But it is the Rams that are, you know, despite their loss to the Eagles, the Rams, the Seahawks, the Cardinals, and even the Niners are all in this mix. And there's no hiding from that. So it's going to be gut check time for the Cardinals.
Yeah, it's going to come down the last week. I
think so, too.
There's no question about it. And then it's, you know, Kyler getting hit 15 times, getting sacked 5 times. If I would have told you, hey, by the way, James Conner is going to be the 4th leading rusher in yards for the Cardinals Sunday in Seattle, and yet there's still a chance that they're going to win the game, you wouldn't have bought into that. So is it correctable? That, I think, is the big question, because if we get deep into Minnesota – it's a two-way street on there. I think they have a better offense than Seattle has. You know, stats would say otherwise with Geno versus Darnold, but And Jordan Addison has come out of nowhere. And of course, we know that they've got other star, they've got a star player on the other side.
Yeah, you named a lot of reasons why the Minnesota Vikings are 9-2, and I don't think anyone would have expected. Even I in the offseason thought Sam Darnold, like what are they going to do exactly with him that's going to be positive? But they really have turned it around for him. They've done a lot of things to make him more comfortable, using some of his athleticism, and they're just a really well-coached team. And I think the Cardinals, you know, for some reason, what does disturb me is I think they lost an edge on their bye.
Sure.
They just came out looking a little rusty, and you just can't have that. You can't have that, and we saw that. So maybe it was let's hope this was a little bit of a wake-up call, but going up to Minnesota has been very tough for the Cardinals. When you look at it from the, you know, they haven't won there in many, many years, and it's just one of those things, right? You say, well, this is a new year. It shouldn't matter. Well, it shouldn't matter, but sometimes these things do. And, you know, they're going to rely on that defense again to lead the way. I think it's strange, but the Cardinals defense is what's leading them right now, because the offense at times just it as much as they rolled against the Jets and, you know, on the ground against the Bears, that ground game was solid against the Bears. You know, these teams, those teams were in a whirlwind of dysfunction. Meanwhile, Seahawks, Vikings, these teams that are seeing the next couple weeks are teams that are playing very well. And of course, it makes the big matchup with the Seahawks at home at State Farm Stadium huge as well. But yeah, I mean, it's going to be matching wits there. I like the two great coaching staffs. And you're right, Jordan Addison is a huge weapon. That Cardinals secondary, though, I do they've gotten better and better all the time. We saw Garrett Williams again with a great pick. This defense has some young stars on it. And so for the offense, they just have to do enough. They have, of course, they've got to score more than 6 points. That is a no-brainer.
Yeah, I mean, Justin Jefferson is he's probably the best of the best, 1A or 1B within the conference. If you look at the NFC, Jody, where would you rank the Cardinals? I was going through this as I was watching them yesterday. It's pretty clear Detroit's the best team. Philadelphia is probably two. You know, Minnesota would have to be up there. Detroit, Philly, Minnesota, and beyond that, everybody's kind of lumped together. When you think that Washington's going to be something, all of a sudden they take a step back. When you think that, you know, a team like Green Bay is going to get better, they look better, but against inferior competition, beat up yesterday competition, the 49ers. So, you know, where do you put the Cardinals?
It's a great question right now. And you're right. They're kind of in the middle of all of that, the mishmash, but it's such a wide range of teams in there. And that's why I think quarterback play is going to define these teams coming down the stretch. I mean, we've talked about how much the run game can take the pressure off of Kyler Murray, but you know, unless the Cardinals can find that run game consistently, it did not show up in Seattle, and Kyler was unable to use his legs in Seattle. So I think when you look at a lot of these teams, it's, yeah, I mean, they have similar players, similar caliber players on the line. It's just at the skill positions is where, you know, you've got to have those playmakers. You've got to have guys. I even saw the wide receivers, you know, not quite as sharp yesterday. And so this offense, it only works with Kyler when it is all, everybody's running on the same page. And that's what you saw with Geno Smith. Geno Smith and his receivers are doing that thing where they can extend plays, and he's finding Jackson Smith and Jigba, all the, you know, DK Metcalf, we saw him extend a play there. That's what this group has to find, because with the pressure that you see, you're right, Kyler Murray got hit entirely too much yesterday. At times he held the ball too long, but what they have to do is find a way to be on the same page, even when the play breaks down.
I am thankful for you. I am thankful that we get to wrap it up every week, chop it up, as I like to say. Have a great Thanksgiving. Thanks for the visit.
Thankful for you as well. We hope you have a great holiday with your family. Thanks a lot, Brad.
Jody Jackson, Jody's Gems, brought to you by E.D. Marshall Jewelers. We appreciate their support, and we're back with more after this timeout. And now it's time on this Monday for Chaos, otherwise known as John Wilner. That's going to be your new name on the show, Mr. Chaos. Because look, this is like March Madness. Like, I was going through all the games this Friday and Saturday, John. There's north of 25 games that still have an impact.
Yes.
On what could happen? And it's games like Tennessee at Vandy. It's games like, what's another? Cal at SMU. These games would have never mattered at all
Yep.
Past. And so this is great. What are you most looking forward to outside of the turkey and the food this weekend with college football?
Ooh, I'm not looking forward to trying to decipher the Big 12 tiebreaker, which, there's seven or eight teams that could still win the Big 12. It could have a four-way tie for first, and there's seven or eight teams that actually could end up in the conference championship game, which is exactly what we expected all along from the Big 12. I agree. Tennessee at Vandy is a great game that would have meant nothing previously and now means a ton. Yep. Tennessee's got to win. Clemson, South Carolina. That's one you wouldn't have thought. Clemson's got two losses. South Carolina's got three. That has an impact not only on the ACC, but on the SEC. Let's see. I mean, pick and choose, right?
If I would have said to you at the start of the year, John, we're going to get down the last week and we've got to watch Indiana-Purdue. We're going to have to watch Indiana-Purdue. I said, there's no way we're not watching Purdue because they never do anything.
Well, that one, I mean, all indications are that should be a blowout, right? Purdue is terrible. They may be the worst team in any of the power conferences. But, yeah, if Indiana loses, they're out. They may be out anyhow. They haven't beaten a ranked team. They've only played one, and they got beat badly Saturday. But because of what happened in the SEC – with Mississippi, Alabama, and Texas A&M all losing, Indiana's fall from five may not be as bad as it would have been because so many teams below them lost. So the Hoosiers still have got a chance to get in into the Big Ten title game or in as an at-large. So, yeah, you probably got to pay attention to that one. I mean, Texas A&M is probably number one on the list because that game – is a huge rivalry that is being rekindled after, you know, more than a decade of those schools being apart. It's SEC championship implications and playoff implications for both schools. So there's a ton. That is number one. I think that could approach Michigan-Ohio State as the most watched game of the weekend because not only will the entire state of Texas be watching, but the whole SEC is going to be watching because so many teams have a rooting interest in the outcome of that game for their particular playoff situation.
Okay, but I'll even throw at you, like, Friday morning, Oregon State plays at Boise State. That's at 10 a.m. here in Arizona.
Yeah.
Oklahoma State of Colorado is at 10 a.m. If Georgia Tech were to somehow, some way beat Georgia at 5:30 Arizona time on Friday afternoon, mass chaos. If Washington, Oregon, that bitter rivalry now takes on a huge number and implication. If the Huskies beat the Ducks, nobody's expecting them to, but if they did, whoo, would we have chaos?
We would. Washington is, I think, a 20-point underdog. I would be very surprised if the Huskies win.
Sure.
Oregon's got a spot in the Big Ten title game locked up, but an Oregon loss could have an impact on where the Big Ten champ is seated relative to the SEC champ. You mentioned Georgia Tech. That's another one. Georgia's in the SEC title game. But if they lose that game, and Georgia Tech has beaten Miami this year, so they're not bad. They're like Vandy. They're way better than you would have figured. But if Georgia loses that game, then that will affect the SEC seating. Any game that involves I want to make sure I got all the Big 12 teams included so I don't offend anybody.
Sure.
ASU, BYU, Colorado, Iowa State, I believe Baylor can actually, believe it or not, Baylor could still win the Big 12.
Kansas State.
I want to say maybe Texas Tech. There's eight. Any game that involves those schools has meaning. So certainly the Territorial Cup is a big one, but – yeah, so is the BYU-Houston game. It's just ridiculous. And this is exactly what everyone hoped the playoff would do, get all these teams involved, more games involved, meaningful games in November. If it were still the 4-team playoff, there'd probably be three games that would matter.
Sure.
And that's it.
Sure. Okay, so what is to prevent this from becoming like the NCAA tournament? Meaning, John, that there's going to be people go into a room and say, well, If we open this up to 32 teams, we open this up, think of the TV ratings, think of the ad dollars, think of all the business right. opportunities that we're missing out. Let's just take the model from basketball. And so November, instead of the joke of a game of Clemson against the Citadel with 1 week to go in the season, those can't happen anymore. And I know it funds all Citadel's athletic department. It's a whole other conversation. But what is it about preventing the football people to say, let's do what they're doing in basketball?
I think they're going to go to 16. There's a real good chance. 16 or 14, right? The current contract for 12 expires after next season. Okay. So in the fall of 2026, there is no format for 26 and beyond. There's a decent chance that they will, in fact, say, let's go to 14 or let's go to 16. Beyond 16, the issue is partly the number of weeks available because of the football calendar, the holidays, final exams, the NFL playoffs.
Final exams, come on. They don't
well,
care.
The issue is
football. We don't care about academics. The student athlete line, that's a joke. Come on,
well,
come on.
I think that there's one week where the schools do not want to play, which is this week it would be Saturday, December 14th.
Yeah.
It's the same weekend as the Heisman Trophy. That is a hard weekend to have games on campus. Army-Navy is the only game because of exams and the schedules. But just fitting in to get to 32 or even 24, you need a whole nother round. Right. And I just don't think that they can make it work. And I don't think that ESPN, which pays for it, thinks that there's a lot of value in that next round of adding, 8 to 12 teams. So they're not paying extra to go to 14 or 16. So why would they pay extra to go to 24? That's just that many more games that don't have as much value. You right? I mean, those are mid-level. If you've got the number, whatever it would be, 15 seed against the number 17 seed, yeah. 18 seed, that game doesn't have any more value than a quality game in November.
Oh, no. We could go all day on this because I'm ESPN 2, I'm ESPN News, I'm ESPN Deportes, I'm ESPN. I have all these channels. It's like March Madness shows up on CBS, now all of a sudden it's on True TV, which I never watch, ever. There's no reason for me to watch True TV except 2 weeks out of the year.
Right. Oh, sure.
So come on now, John. We'll poke holes in this at another time.
Well, I do think 14 or 16 is going to happen soon. To me, 24 or 32 seems a little bit much, at least for the current cycle of games. Which goes through, I think, 2031. The new ESPN contract will kick in 26 and goes into the early 2030s. But by then, we could have a Super League. By then, the SEC and Big Ten could have, 24 teams in each. So that would reshape the playoff as well.
Okay, before I get you out of here, two other things. From the SEC, sitting here today, do you believe that they will get four or five in here, no matter what?
Well, first of all, the SEC today for the SEC probably meant a weekday that started at like 4 a.m. in Birmingham in the SEC offices, where they – maybe it didn't even end from last night, because yesterday they all came in, all the SEC executives, all the key football personnel, they came in to figure out, all right, we just had carnage – with all these teams taking on a third loss, instead of getting four at-large teams, we're now staring at the prospect of getting two. We got to come up with a plan here. So they've probably been in the SEC office in Birmingham all night figuring out a media strategy to start this week with ESPN to somehow produce a new narrative that will help them get three or four teams in, including a three-loss team, right? The SEC media machinery is a very, very powerful force in college football. The fact that it is has an all-in contract with ESPN and Disney provides the platform with the ranking show, with Paul Feinbaum, with College Game Day. They will all be blasting, I think, strength of schedule. That's going to be the key phrase this week, because – The SEC's got a lot of teams that have three losses but play very tough schedules. They're going to argue those teams should be in ahead of one loss, Indiana, two loss Miami. That is going to be what we see this week, is the SEC media machinery in full force.
Okay. You don't expect any more than one Big 12 or one ACC, even with all the carnage, because I happen to agree with you on this, that the
Probably.
SEC is just going to hammer away and say, there's no way we're going to get to there. We're going to let ACC get two in here. This is our deal. This is our house.
Well, yes, although it'll be hard for the committee. You got one, a two-loss ACC team against a three-loss SEC team. That's going to provide some debate. Here's how I think it'll do it. So quick math, right?
Sure.
Seven at-large spots. Notre Dame is going to get one of them as long as they beat SC on Saturday. Okay, so that leaves six. I think the Big 12 has no chance to get an at-large team based on the number of losses and where its teams are ranked. Okay, the ACC could get a second. Big 10's probably getting three at-large, the loser of the championship game, plus Penn State and probably Indiana. So Notre Dame, three Big 10, that's four. None from the Big 12. So is the SEC going to get three, or is the SEC going to get two and the ACC gets one? That's the math. I still think there's a way the SEC is going to get three, even though that would include a three-loss team. I think South Carolina is a team to watch this week. They've got three losses, all quality losses. If they beat Clemson, I think South Carolina is going to get in at 9-3 as the third SEC at-large team.
Okay. Arizona State, Arizona.
Yes.
It's usually which coach is going to get fired, and it's played opposite of Alabama, Auburn, and nobody watches it. This year, it is a ton on the line. It's on Big Fox in a great window for the nation to see on Saturday rather than Friday when people are out shopping. It's all lined up there for ASU. So I'll start with Coach Brennan. Is he going to get fired? Do you believe there'll be a change at U of A after this season?
I would bet that there is not. Well, first of all, I think some of it might depend on what happens. I think if it is a blowout, if ASU goes in there and beats the ASU, which was 3-9 last year, has a second-year coach who has had several very interesting on-field interviews and discussions with officials lately. So if they lose badly to ASU, I actually think that there's a chance Brent Brennan will get fired. Not better than 50-50, but the fact that it's on the radar tells you how badly it's gone. If the game is close, or certainly if Arizona wins, I think he's fine. So there's that. Then there is ASU needing to win to secure its spot in the Big 12 championship, which puts the Sun Devils incredibly, they are 8 quarters away from the college football playoff.
Yep.
Right? I mean, the river's turning to blood, and ASU making the college football playoff, two signs of the apocalypse for you there, Brad. Two signs, right? I just can't, or maybe it's the moon. I can't remember my signs of the apocalypse right now. But the fact is, ASU's 8 quarters away from getting in the playoff. Incredible. That's what the playoff has done, and that's what Kenny Dillingham has done.
Okay, I'll let you go off that. I appreciate your time as always. Thanks,
Brad.